and welcome to Pink Flamingo RV Radio, the voice of the RV industry. I'm your host, Tracy Miller, and thanks for joining us. Well, as usual, joining me in studio happens to be our staff photographer, audio engineer, and everything else that we throw at him happens to be my son, Austin Miller. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Getting ready to start up school here pretty soon.
Yeah, that's right around the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, just a couple days away. Well, first, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Unique RV out of Henderson, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Mario and Mike Shortino, the father and son duo that have been in this industry for over 45 years now, and they are experts when it comes to RV repair needs. Also, we have the Auto Collections inside the Link Hotel and Casino on the Strip, also in Las Vegas. This is Rob Williams, and they have 125,000 square feet filled with cars that are jaw-dropping, that are absolutely stunning, and a lot of them are for sale. So you can go down to our website and either find them on our links page or our sponsors page and find out more about them.
And a plug for you again this week, including your 1971 Fiat 500L. That is your personal car that's for sale up there at Auto Collections.
It is, yeah. It's sitting up there with all the other jaw-dropping cars, and it's kind of surreal thinking that it's sitting up there with all those.
Yeah, and a lot of people getting a chance to see it, and maybe somebody will actually buy it. That was the whole goal of putting it up there. So thanks, Rob. We appreciate it. We would like to start out the show with thanking all of our new listeners that have actually gone to our Facebook page and given us a like. If you haven't done that, we would greatly appreciate it. Click on over to our Facebook page, which is Pink Flamingo RV Radio. Click on the like button. Our numbers have gone up significantly here in the last week or so. If you have a friend that hasn't clicked the like button, maybe you suggest that they do the same thing. And then don't forget about the fact that we have an Instagram account. We are trying to post pictures on a daily basis between both of our schedules. Sometimes that doesn't happen. But if you don't have an Instagram account, do not feel left out. You can go to our website at pinkflamingorvradio.com. Up at the top, there is a series of buttons. Click on the Pinkstagram page, and you will actually bring up the same pictures, the same captions that we have over on Instagram, and you don't even have to go to Instagram if that's not part of what you do on a regular basis. Many of you have already visited our very first video on YouTube. We want to give you a big thank you for that. We appreciate it. This was our very first video that we put up. We wanted to start a new account, and it was a condensed version of 4 days of rescue of Austin's vintage trailer, and we are now working on more videos. There will be three classes of videos that will go up there, and those will be under the categories of rescue, review, and relax. Rescue will be any of the rescues we go out when we find a trailer. Reviews will be on either products or RVs, so if you happen to have an RV you want us to talk about, let us know. We'd be happy to do that. Or if you have a specific topic that you think would make for a good video, let us know. We want to start putting up not only informational videos, but also some entertainment videos at the same time. One of the things that we want to do this week was give a special shout out and a huge thank you to all of the fire personnel who are risking their lives in the many fires that are burning up California right now. These fires have destroyed land, homes, buildings, and the lives of many people, things that they've worked for a very long time. So again, thank you to all of the fire teams on the ground, in the air, the support crews, all of the first responders that are out there. They're out on those fire lines 24/7. They're not getting a break. The heat is not going away, and we have no rain in sight right now. So for all of those folks, thank you very much. And also a reminder, if you're out camping, so we don't have more of these fires, not that I'm blaming this on campers, but please use caution when you have an open flame, a camp stove, or any electrical connections. If it looks like it's something worn, don't plug it in. Get a new cord. It's not worth the fire and all the devastation that goes along with it. And we want you as RVers to be safe, and we also want to prevent any further destruction by fire. The state has already seen enough of that. We can look out the window from our studio right now, and we can see a big fire up in Lake Isabella, California. Not a pretty sight. So anyway, thank you to all the fire personnel, the first responders. We truly appreciate it. So with our thank you to the firefighters and all of our updates out of the way, we are going to jump right into the show. Stick with us. Right after the break, we will come back with a lot of RV information. This is Pink Flamingo RV Radio. We'll be right back.
Beer and Bros is a half-hour news commentary podcast. Brothers-in-law Lyle and Dan discuss items from the week's news, from the serious to the silly and even the surreal. Lyle is a history teacher and football coach in Southwest Michigan. Dan is marketing director at a music store in Northwest Florida. Cars, the outdoors, music, movies, beer, politics, religion, and pop culture are all points of interest and likely to turn up during discussion. There is no bad language, but no topic is off limits. Beer and Bros, the podcast you've been looking for.
welcome back. Well, there is a travel trailer brand out there that has flown under radar, or at least for the masses. There is a huge following, and there's a huge demand for these as well. Not just new, but also old. So if you happen to see an old one and it's for sale and you're looking for one, you might want to grab it up just due to the fact that they don't last that long. Here's what's interesting. It's not because they're not made anymore that they've turned into a collector. It just seems that most people want to buy a used one of this particular trailer. I'll tell you who this is in a minute. Just due to the fact that they can customize them so easily, set them up the way they want, and it's actually a very cool little trailer. Well, there's some big differences. One is, if you're going to do a restoration or customize, you don't have to worry about any rotted wood because these are all fiberglass. All right, if you've made your guess and you're kind of sure of what this may be or what it isn't, I'll just give you the name. We're referring to the fiberglass Scamp trailer. And joining us on the phone with more, actually a ton of information, is the moderator for the Facebook group Scamp Travel Trailers, which can be found on Facebook, and that happens to be Robert Hawkins. Robert, how you doing?
Hey, good evening, Tracy. How are you tonight?
Hey, doing well, thanks. I just got home from back in your neck of the woods. You are in South Carolina. Was in North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were in God's country for sure.
It is absolutely.
I'm here outside of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The sun's getting down on the horizon, but wanted to spend a little time out here in the evening out here next to the Scamp.
No, it's great that people will be able to see it if they don't know what a Scamp is. Now, folks, these are the little, they're kind of an egg-shaped fiberglass trailer that you will see behind a lot of smaller tow vehicles because they have the capability of pulling it. But, Robert, you and I spoke previous to coming on the air, this was last week, and there is a huge demand for these trailers, isn't there?
Sure is. These Scamp travel trailers have been around for, since the early, mid-70s. But because the design of the trailer is so universal from day one till today that the vehicle is able to be repaired so easily. Plus, fiberglass is like Play-Doh if you really know how to work it right, and anybody can. It's not a difficult material to work with, so if you're a craftsman, handy, a little mechanically inclined, you could pick up one of these diamonds in the rough out and back in somebody's yard like I have right now, and with a little bit of elbow grease, get it on the road shining clean.
Well, let's go there. Let's say that somebody doesn't have the expertise of really being hands-on. You could actually take this to a good body shop, and as long as they know fiberglass, they can get you rolling down the road too.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a minimal amount of material that's added on. Everything is pretty well integrated with these fiberglass trailers. Glass is class is what they call with these brands, primarily because they are so easy to work with. You can modify them. If you make a mistake, you can always glass back in what you made a mistake with if you wanted to. However, you want to try to know what you're doing in any event while you're putting one together. Have a plan in mind, but then you can find yourself one that you can polish it up just fine.
Okay, so let me ask real quick, because you are the moderator for Scamp Travel Trailers on Facebook, and you get to talk to virtually everybody from around the world that either has or is interested in Scamps. Let me ask you, because our conversation really revolved around used Scamps, what does someone look for if they go out looking at a used Scamp? Are there trigger things that you want to look for that may be, red flags that you don't want to buy that one, or something that says, hey,
there's no real red flags in picking one up because they are a rare commodity to find that has a for sale sign on it. Be armed and prepared to make a deal that moment in an instant if you really want to. But there are some telltales. Age of the Scamp manifests itself in corrosion in the frame and particularly the axle. It's a torsion rubber bar axle that rubber ages. It gets brittle and dries out.
Right.
So if you see a Scamp travel trailer that's kind of like a lowrider, well, you better expect about a $300 to $500 investment on a new axle.
Interesting. Well, that's good to know. Especially nowadays, there are so many people customizing trailers. They try to get that low look. Well, if you see it on a Scamp, obviously that's not good then. Probably a good idea to check out that axle or maybe walk away.
That's right. But actually, it's a bargaining chip as well, because you want to be able to try to negotiate a good price. There's a price point you can point to. Say, look, I know it's going to be about $500 to take that axle and get another one in its place.
Ah, very good.
All things said, I can offer you $500 less.
Okay, so let's go here with the group that you are the moderator of. There's about 9,000 people out there. What seems to be the draw amongst all of these people? Is it now because people are going to smaller tow vehicles? They're downsizing? What's the big draw on scamp, and where has it been since the 70s?
I think it's just a sign of the times. People are downsizing. The economy has slowed down a little bit. Plus, you've got older people and getting more of them, and they're becoming empty nesters. The needs to have a lot of square footage, whenever you go, however you go, is coming less. And so camp travel trailers appeal to the type of people that enjoy camping but spend about 80% of their time outside of their camper. They'll be out there in front with a canopy and a picnic table, and that's where life goes on when you camp, especially with these scamps. The size of it, it's great for cooking, getting in out of the weather. You can guarantee a Yogi Bear won't chew his way through that as much as he would the tent canvas.
Okay, so when I mentioned the 9,000 people, when you and I spoke previous, you said that you've added like 61 people to the group in one day, so there is a huge
following. Well, now, a lot of factors come into play with that, too. Once a group starts getting up in size, it starts propagating out across Facebook, and you start getting countries and people interested in the travel trailer from long distance. So we're just getting a broader reach and a broader audience. We bring them all on board. Scamp's been around for several years, and there's some of those models that are still out there chugging away, but they're in different forms, like a houseboat. Or I know one that's right now out in the middle of, I think, the Antarctic on the back of a research vessel.
Wow.
And there's a two-year cruise, and this scamp is being served as an office, office space and accommodations on this vessel. So there's a lot of character to these little travel trailers. They're great conversation starters, too. Anytime you pull into a gas station, you better be prepared to have a smile and a few answers to be able to just respond to, oh, that's such a cute little thing.
Okay, we've only got a couple of minutes left, Robert, so I just wanted to ask you, because Scamp is still currently produced, and they make three different sizes, there's a 13, a 16, and a 19-footer, most of the vintage Scamps that I see are 13-footers. Was that the most popular
size?
Well,
it is by far the most popular because it's most affordable. But if you were wanting to decide as a good, comfortable Scamp, the 16-footer is the way to go. Of course, there is the Palace with that fifth wheel.
Ah, okay. And, you know, it's funny because occasionally I'll be driving down the road and I see one of the fifth wheels and it's like, ooh, 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 ooh. You just don't see those that often. That is definitely an ooh moment. But they are such cute little trailers. So one of the things I wanted to make sure people get, because we're going to have to get going here, and that is your Facebook page is Scamp, S-C-A-M-P, Travel Trailers. So someone can get in touch with you if they have one or if they have an interest or if they're an enthusiast. But if someone is interested in a brand new Scamp trailer, we just wanted people to know where to be able to go to find those. And they are listed on Facebook under Scamp Trailers / Evelands Incorporated. It is EVELANDS. And they're actually out of Minnesota. Their website, if you want to go there, is scamptrailers.com, or you can give them a call. They have a toll-free number. It's 800-346-4962. And I think what I'm going to do is try to get someone from the factory, and maybe we'll talk about the new Scamps now. But Robert, we appreciate you taking the time with us, and thanks for sharing some of the information. I know there's a lot of people that see Scamps going down the road, and they probably don't know a lot about them.
Every time you do, honk your horn and wave with a big smile. I'll guarantee you the people that are driving it down the road will smile and wave back.
Well, undoubtedly.
Appreciate you having me on the show. I really do.
Hey, well, thanks for taking the time to be with us. We'll have you back. We may try to get you on the same time as we have somebody from the factory. We'll see how that works. But, Robert, thanks again. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. And we'll be looking forward to hearing you again.
Sounds like a deal. Folks, stick with us. There's more to come. This is Pink Flamingo RV Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Debbie from the Busy Ladies Podcast. Join us as we explore various women's issues with a unique and personal perspective on how to handle family, work, health, happiness, and life in general. We share with you how we begin each new day trying to be the best that we can be. We talk to women about what matters most in their lives. If you want to learn or share new and different ideas, then join the Busy Ladies. Hopefully, in the process, we can also entertain you. Check us out at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com.
And welcome back. Well, for some of us in the vintage RV hobby, we are trailer junkies. There is no doubt about it. We can't get enough, whether it happens to be time or the quantity of trailers that we happen to pick up. We have no hesitation about jumping into a fixer-upper project. However, not many of us, there's a select few out there that actually get into some of the bigger projects of like a 40-foot fixer. This takes a very special person and or a team to actually work on it, especially when a select few are never going to see the final results. Why? Well, because this one happens to be on a permanent foundation. Okay, bear with me here for a second because we're going to venture into a whole new segment that we have not done on this show before, and it happens to be the first time we will be discussing what you might call a house trailer from the 50s, or today known as more of a park model. So with that, we will have someone joining us on the phone here that happens to be half of the team that bought, remodeled, and brought this to an unbelievable look, which you will see in the photos that go along with the interview, and that happens to be Sarah. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tracy. Thank you for having me.
Hey, first of all, what an exceptional looking trailer. You did an outstanding job on it. So I have to ask in the very beginning, can you give us a little brief story of how this came about and what your inspiration was? Because this is a big project.
Sure. Yes, it has been a big project and it continues to be, but it's a great one. This happened quite recently. We only bought the trailer and we closed on the trailer in March of this year, 2016. We found the trailer on in an area of Washington State that we'd love to go to, the southwest corner of Washington State. We've been visiting there for years, and as we'd visited, we'd stayed at a place called the Southwester, which has these fantastic Airstreams and vintage trailers. So we knew that we loved the area. We knew we loved vintage trailers. In February, we stumbled upon this particular property with this particular amazing 1958 Delta tri-level trailer or mobile home or park model. We weren't expecting to find anything like this, and we weren't really quite ready to see it when we did. And when we first found it, it looked a little bit sad from the outside.
Yes, it did. Those pictures actually show that.
A bit, right. I mean, I called it Band-Aid color. It looked like a large 40-foot Band-Aid sitting in the forest. But as we looked on the outside and we looked in the inside, we started exploring it, we realized that it had a great deal of potential. And so we went for it. We made an offer, and even though it was, again, not something we were expecting, we made an offer on the property in the trailer and went from there. And that's when the big challenge really began.
Well, if you don't mind me interrupting, let's talk about the fact real quick that this is not just what you might consider a 40-foot park model or a house trailer for back then. You said it's a 1958 Delta. It's a single wide, which is 8 feet wide, 40 feet long, but it's very unique in the fact that it's a tri-level. Can you explain that real quick?
Right. So the tri-level phenomenon is fantastic. I knew virtually nothing about it. I had seen one at the place that we used to stay down in Southwest Washington, but I'd never been into one before. So what a tri-level is precisely that. You walk in toward the front, what had originally been the front part of the trailer, and you're at the main level, and that's the living area. And so we have a couch and our little table, and then to the left of that is the kitchen, which is quite nicely appointed. As you move toward the back of the trailer, you pass the bathroom to the right, and to the left is quite spacious storage. And then the trailer splits, and so that's when you get the tri-level part of it. And so you go down about three steps to the rear, and there's the downstairs bedroom, and that is a split of two twin beds. And twin beds with some nice built-in cabinetry between them. Then to the right of that, go up about three or four rather steeper stairs to the upper level. And the upper level contains both a loft, which is, you know, fairly shallow. It's a loft. Uh-huh. And that the loft extends toward the front of the trailer. And then toward the rear of the trailer is the main bedroom, which has basically a double bed that's up on a platform, which fits in nicely with the twin rooms below it. And then there are built-in cabinets, sort of a vanity and a closet up there. So it's an amazing amount of living space that is contained in a fairly narrow footprint.
Well, yeah, they've taken advantage of virtually everything. They went up instead of having to go wider on it, which being 8 feet wide is your average travel trailer. But to be able to have that loft up above and then the bedroom down below, pretty unique, and they are very unique in their look. Folks, just so you know, on our website, you can go to pinkflamingorvradio.com, and there is a slideshow that goes along with Sarah's trailer. At the very end of it, not only will you see hers, but you'll also see some examples of what other types of trailers in that same format were available back in the 50s. But you were lucky to stumble upon this, and then as you got deeper into it, it actually turned out to be almost fortuitous that it was meant for you.
It really was. When we bought into this, we knew nothing about these trailers. We knew nothing about a tri-level. We really didn't know anything about vintage trailers other than that we like to stay in them occasionally by the beach. But we started researching them, and the more that we researched, the more I researched especially, the more we sort of fell in love with the place. And we enjoyed the woodwork. The woodwork is amazing. The built-in cabinetry is amazing. We learned a little bit more about the woman who had owned the trailer before we had. We believe that she was probably the original owner or one of the original owners.
Wow.
And it all started making sense. So, you know, at first we thought, we'll get the place, we'll build a cabin in 10 years. And we thought, well, but until we do that, we're going to start cleaning it up because you clean it up. And, you know, maybe we can stay here a little bit as we're biding time. But as we began to clean the trailer and to polish the woodwork and to repair a little bit of the wood, a few panels needed to be replaced. There are a couple more that we'll work on. We learned more about how it had been built and how incredibly solid it is. And we really fell in love with the mid-century aesthetic and decided, you know, we're going to go with this. So rather than looking forward to building a little micro cabin in the future, we're going to focus on what we have right here because it's really an unusual. I don't know what to call it. It's not a vehicle anymore. It's an unusual, really rare kind of precious piece of mid-century Americana.
Oh, you bet.
And American architecture.
Well, and just the location of it is absolutely gorgeous anyway, but the reality is you have something that's so unique, again, because of the styling in itself, but it was basically a time capsule from what you said. A lot of things that she left behind, you were able to apply because you went with that mid-century look inside. But one of the things I really have to touch on, because we only have a couple of minutes left here, is what you did as far as exterior color. You went very bold on it, which I'm a huge fan of, but not many people would do that.
We did go bold. So it was a time capsule in the interior, and we loved that. And once we started realizing that, I think our imaginations took off, and we decided, you know, for the interior, we are trying to do nothing that postdates 1958 in style. And then we thought, well, what do we do? So that's actually relatively easy if you set that as a terminus, your end point. We thought, well, what are we going to do for the outside? Because we had to get rid of the Band-Aid color.
Oh, yes,
and
you did.
That just was not going to fly very long. And I knew that I didn't want to try to... I found the original colors that had been painted. It was a white and a bright turquoise, which would have been typical for that
sure.
period. But I thought, you know, that looks great for something that's meant to be on the road or, you know, or pulled into a camp or a park in 1958. But that didn't feel right for us. And so I began researching mid-century paint palettes for houses, for small mid-century houses. And I looked through hundreds and hundreds of these, and I'm a researcher by nature, so I researched lots. And I realized, you know, I want to go bold. It's a small structure, and I want to go with really bold colors, colors that you would not have seen on a park model, right, on a mobile home or a trailer in 1958, but colors you would have seen on houses at that period. And so that's where we decided that since this was not going to be a trailer that would see the road again, but it had effectively been turned into a cabin, that we wanted to paint it like that. And so we went for really bold colors, people will see, a graphite color on the exterior with a very bright sort of, I think it's called tequila lime stripe, where the quilting stripe was, uh-huh. And then bright orange doors and some gray accents. And so we did decide to go very, very strong with our exterior colors, but I love it.
Oh, I do too. I think you made great choices on it. Now, again, it's not for everybody, but it would be for me. And what you have invested in that now, I don't know dollar-wise, but it's going to be a fraction of what you would go maybe to Palm Springs, California, and try to find a 50s, you know, mid-century modern home there, which would be in the millions of dollars. And you've got a great getaway.
Yeah, I think that it's a work in progress. The next big project is expanding the deck and expanding the deck and into a porch and what have you. But, you know, I think that for what we have, it color-wise, it works. It works with the style. I really felt that was a little bit risky because I had not seen any park models or trailers that had been painted in such aggressive colors. But I did see houses from that period that had been painted in that way. And so,
sure.
You know, it was a bit risky, but I think that we're happy with what it's turning out to be.
Well, let me just give you my two cents. I think you've done an outstanding job on it. It's absolutely gorgeous. Again, folks, you can see pictures on our website. You will not miss it. And then again, there are some advertisements of the same style trailer from back in that same era. But Sarah, I think you've done a great job on it. Thanks for being with us. This is the first time we've talked about, you know, kind of a house trailer or a park model that would not go to a show. You guys are going to be the ones who enjoy it on a regular basis. So thanks for letting us put your pictures up. Now everybody else gets a chance to see it at the same time.
Well, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. And yeah, these are wonderful, wonderful old homes. And I'd love to see more of them. So I don't know how many more survive, but they're really, really terrific.
Yes, they are. Well, folks, here you have it. The very first time we've talked about a park model or a house trailer from back in that era. But stick with us. I'm sure there's going to be more of those to come now that we've done one. Anyway, we will be right back. This is Pink Flamingo RV Radio, the voice of the RV industry.
Social media is a powerful weapon in your business's marketing arsenal. Whether you are drawn to LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or other platforms, The LinkedIn Lady Show will guide you in building a strategy that works best for your brand. Carol McManus is the LinkedIn Lady, and her show is designed to inform, inspire, and educate businesses, entrepreneurs, and marketers of all sizes around the world on the effective use of social media for growing their business. The LinkedIn Lady will interview a variety of guests. Business owners who will showcase their business and how they use social media to capture new and engage with their existing customers.
And welcome back. Well, not only does Pink Flamingo RV Radio provide a regular care and maintenance segment on the show, but we also like to invite in the experts that can tell you about specifics on how to keep your RV or your boat or whatever goes behind that RV looking good for the many years as you're going down the road. We have been honored on the show to have them on Pink Flamingo twice in the past. If you haven't heard them, they were actually on shows number 41 and number 50. And considering that care and upkeep on your RV is an ongoing process, we thought we'd invite them back again. And this time, you're not going to believe how easy the product is. There is no cleaning, no polishing, no detailing involved in this segment. Joining us on the phone for his second time happens to be the National Sales and Training Specialist for Meguiar's Polishes, Waxes, all the other products that go along, happens to be Mr. Tom McDonald. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Hey, we appreciate you coming back. And, you know, a lot of people are confused by products, and that was the reason we tried to go deeper into the waxes and polishes and everything last time. But you and I had discussed the fact that you have a product out there that is really beneficial to anybody with an RV, anybody with a boat, and a lot of those go hand in hand. And it happens to be a boat and RV air freshener. I have to be honest, for what I've told you in the past, all of the decades I have used Meguiar's products, I have never used the air freshener, so maybe you can enlighten us on where to use it, when to use it, how to use it properly. Let me start with this. RVs are closed up. I understand how that can work. What about some of the boats that have open tops, maybe a ski boat?
Well, great question. It is a product that's designed for the larger vehicles, but it's perfectly fine for the smaller ski boat types as well. So let's say that you go to store the boat, and sometimes when you take it out in the spring, there's that smell that it's difficult to get out. This would be a great product to use in those situations, maybe before you store it or after you pull it out. What it does is it's a simple canister that you simply set off. It goes off in about 2 minutes. You just put a paper towel underneath it. You don't need to cover anything or hide food or anything like that. Set it off, close up all the windows. If you have a ventilation system, you can run the ventilation system so it circulates through the ventilation system.
Hmm.
And then after it's done, in about 2 minutes, you open up the doors and windows to let it ventilate for 10, 15 minutes, and that's it. No wiping, no cleaning, no prep, no nothing. It's a very simple product to use, and it lasts for weeks.
Okay, so let me ask you, it states that it's an odor eliminator, so this, in my opinion, wouldn't be your typical, you know, little green tree you would hang off of your mirror for just a foo-foo smell. How does it actually get in and permeate maybe the materials and still be safe?
Well, what's in this product goes after the key smell in the vehicle, in the RV or whatever it is. It goes after that source of the smell, and it kills it. So it goes after it, and then it eliminates it from reoccurring. It's not forever. You know, a lot of times these smells, because it's piping and things like that, these RVs and boats. So over time, they do come back. But this is a product that will last. It will last for weeks. So it's not something that's just very short term.
Oh, okay. Well, you opened up the segment with the fact that, you know, if you've opened up your RV after being stored up maybe for the winter, that you would have that smell. I was going to ask you about that. So how often, because we're still into the RVing season right now, how often do you recommend to reuse it? Because whether you're cooking inside, boy, you know that there's smells that come off of the stove from that, or whether or not maybe somebody's a smoker or you have a wet dog that gets inside, how often should you be using it to try to eliminate those odors?
Generally, it's a two-pack canister, and that's mainly because of size. RVs and boats tend to be larger, so a lot of times you would need to use both canisters, one in the front of the vehicle and one in the back, to be most effective. So, you know, generally a couple times a year would be sufficient. If the smells are really bad, you'd probably want to do it more often. But, I mean, this thing lasts for weeks. Depending on the smells that you're trying to take care of, it may take more than that, but generally, a couple times a year should be sufficient for these.
Oh, very good. Well, you know, the more I'm thinking about it as we're talking here, you think about boats, the carpet gets wet in there, and it's going to have that musty smell to it. And especially after you've had the boat out, you try to let it dry out, you put the cover on, maybe it wasn't completely dry, and that odor does stay in there of that musty smell. So I can see where you could use it, you know, almost every time you put the boat away. Is there any hazard to that?
None whatsoever. And that's the beauty of these things. They're really easy to use. So if you want to use them more frequently, let's say you just used one a month and a half ago and you're going to have some friends on your RV and it's got that smell from use and things like that, and you want to kind of freshen it up with this scent, great product to use. Or let's say you have an issue in the bathroom where there's a scent in the bathroom that you're trying to delete.
Is that really an area you want to go, Tom?
Well, you know, this comes up with a common question, so unfortunately, yes, it is.
Boy, I hate to say it, but as soon as you said the odors in the bathroom, it's like, wow, we're on a whole different level now. But no, there are, you know, there is water in there and there's moisture and everything else, so I can understand it could be virtually any particular room inside your RV, too.
Exactly. If you have smells in the kitchen, certain types of food you cook more than others, bathroom, shower areas where scents can be different. Those areas are specific and small, and it's fine. It's not overpowering in those areas. You know, just ventilate afterwards, and it's fine, and it'll last for quite a while.
Okay, so let me ask you this one, that because people have different maybe reactions or they don't like a certain scent or anything, are there different scents that they can get in the air freshener?
At this time, no, but the scent we have, it's called Fiji Sunset, and it's actually a really, really nice scent. We went through probably a dozen different scents before we finally decided on this one, but at this time, we only have the one. Down the road, we may come up with more, but at this time, it's only just the one. And it's very mild. It's not overpowering. It's something that it's not too feminine. It's not too masculine. It's kind of a neutral smell, and it has a real nice fragrance to it. So,
well, and you came up with a great name. I think that one's kind of cool in itself. But so let me ask you this one. The way they work, it and the way you described it, it is the aerosol can, and to me, it looks kind of like the bug bombs you would use maybe in your RV at the same time. However, is there any kind of repellent that might keep rodents out of your RV?
No, there's no type of bug repellent in there at all. So it's just a air refresher type surf product. So that's all it would really benefit for.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just didn't know with certain scents, you know, there are certain things that bugs or rodents don't like in the way of smell, and I didn't know if maybe that was incorporated into it. But no, it's definitely something that I'm going to have to try. Is it something now that has really taken off? Are more people starting to understand that they do have a way of, you know, curing some of these odors inside their RV?
It really is. It's a new concept, because typically in the past they'd have to spray a product and wipe it, or it was a pretty significant process to get this done, whereas this is just simply a close up windows and doors, put a paper towel down, set it on the paper towel, set it off. 2 minutes later, 3 minutes later, open up the doors and windows to let it ventilate, and that's it. No wiping, no nothing. So it's really popular with people that store their vehicles for long periods of time, or just older vehicles that tend to get the smells to them over time. And it's a way to kind of freshen up a vehicle if you're having friends over or something like that. So it's just a great piece. It's just a great product added to our line of products that people really enjoy and like, and it does a really great job for them.
No, it sounds great. I'm going to have to try it, and I really think that we're going to have to remind folks of this come the end of RVing season as we get into winter. Maybe have them set one off, and that way it'll be nice and fresh when they open the doors back up for springtime again.
Exactly, and that's kind of the intent of these, is that a lot of places that use them are like places that are rental fleets.
Hmm.
They have rental houseboats or rental motorhomes, people that tend to store them for long periods of time, you know, things like that. That's when they really do well, is for those types of situations.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Hey, before we go, we've only got about a minute left. Real quick, we just want, if you could, to remind folks what you have in the way of product lineup for marine and RV. There is a ton of product out there. Maybe you can hit kind of the hard high points of some of those products.
Sure, I'm glad to. Meguiar's has a full line of RV and marine products. They everything from washes to waxes to compounds to polishes, and then the maintained products, spray and wipe type products for surfaces. They're available all over the country at retail outlets. You can go online and find them as well. And we've been in business for over 100 years, so we have a really good reputation, and we have really good products that are available for pretty much any surface you have in your RV.
And to add to that, everybody on your end that I've ever dealt with has been so great to deal with. You guys have great customer service. I want to make sure that people understand where they can go to find out more about Meguiar's. Folks, you can go to their website, which is Meguiar's, Meguiars.com. They also have a plethora of videos on YouTube, how-tos, other things that people have put up there on the products that they've actually used. You can email them via their website under their Contact Us, and then you can also give them a call at 1-800-347-5700. Any last-minute tips you'd like to add in there, Tom, before we go?
Just summer's ending, so now's the time to start doing things to prep your vehicle for the winter, and this product, the Air Refresher, is a great product to add to that repertoire. So.
Well, we appreciate it. I look forward to using it. I have to be honest, like I say, I haven't used it in the past. It's something that I've just overlooked, so I will give that a try. But again, Tom, thanks for being with us. We'll have you back on again. I know you're getting ready to be busy as far as travel. I just came off of travel, so it was nice we could actually get this done. But hey, thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Well, we always appreciate it. Good to talk to you again.
Well, there you have it. Another week done and gone. We appreciate all of our guests this week. Hopefully, we've given you some information to expand your RV knowledge. So please join us next week. We've got more to come. This is Pink Flamingo RV Radio. While you're on the road, stay safe and enjoy the RV lifestyle. We'll see you next week.